This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in today, it's the call. You can text on that number as well. We've been talking a lot about Stephon Diggs and the whole, was it drugs, was it not drugs, his incident on the boat, how it impacts the New England Patriots. We just talked about Drake May a little bit in the previous segment. And Mego, you brought up a point that there was a hot take from the morning show that you wanted to address. So please, what hot take is it that you would like to address?
So you were doing a lead about Drake May and OTAs, and Chris Curtis had this response, which I thought was inspired. Can we hear Chris Curtis's response here?
I don't think Joe Milton's very good, so this isn't me saying that he should be the starter. But isn't it concerning that you removed competition from a guy that clearly seems to need it? Like, why are you trying to make it easy on him?
Why do you think he needs competition?
Because everybody, Tom Brady needed competition, so I assume if he did, it would help Drake May. I mean, Brady's second half of his dynasty was created because Belichick drafted Jimmy G and it got him to a new level.
And he didn't need competition from, like, what, 03 to 07?
But it's a bad sign that you have to get rid of a guy because the starting quarterback, and if he's playing like this, I agree. Who cares? It's an OTA.
Right.
But if you're going to have a practice, you might as well be good at it.
So I would ask the audience, first of all, because I did, when I wrote about this or talked about it, might have been on the Six Rings podcast, got some interaction of, like, do you think it was a mistake that they let Joe Milton go when Drake is so uneven to start OTAs? Obviously, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe Milton's that good. And I agree with you there, Shyam, that you don't need competition to motivate Drake May. I don't think Drake May, any issues that he's having right now, is motivation-based.
No.
I don't think he's
the,
like,
third overall pick. He hasn't done anything.
Well, I don't think that he is screwing up because he's, like, not focused or he's not motivated. I think he's just having some bumps in the road, learning a new system and learning new guys.
Yep.
I don't think that Joe Milton being here would make him, like, sharper, but I would open it up to the audience if they do feel like the Patriots made a mistake or they're feeling a little bit like seller's remorse.
Yeah.
Now that you see Drake May, maybe... Again, this is 2 days that we've gotten of OTAs as media and one reported day where he was great and nobody got to see it. It is so early to be looking over your shoulder and saying, wow, did you really let Joe Milton get away? I think I would say from my perspective, I think the issues with Drake are not about, like, he's not motivated, he's not sharp, he doesn't have the killer instinct now that Joe Milton is gone. No, like, the dude's trying to learn now, and it's a little bumpy trying to learn.
And I think people want to use that whole, like, the iron sharpens iron type deal, but, like, who's to say Joe Milton would have been iron in this Josh McDaniels offense? He might have been struggling way more than Drake May. I mean, Josh Dobbs was struggling, I believe, this week. Even, didn't he throw an interception? He was I want to say he was it 9 of 16,
which
I thought was a number. Like,
could be a real concern, by the way, because Drake May did have two head injuries last year. And so if the guy you're immediately going to is Josh Dobbs, if he has to complete, like, the second half of a game, like we saw at one point last year, I'm watching him in OTAs. That the drop off from Drake May to Josh Dobbs is quite concerning to me.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I think that's a fair excuse. But to me, like, Josh Dobbs is better than what Joe Milton is. Like, Joe Milton was just athletic. Like, that's the thing. Is just Joe Milton is just a freak athlete. I don't think he can actually play quarterback in the NFL.
People would say, though, like, I would guess Joe Milton defenders would say, at least with Joe Milton, his ceiling was probably much higher than Josh Dobbs's is. So maybe he would develop.
I don't even know that I believe that either. Like, maybe Joe Milton's ceiling is higher as a receiver than Josh Dobbs's, but I don't know if at quarterback it's higher. And Mike Vrabel wanted a guy who's just kind of he's familiar with, and a guy he knew would be a good veteran leader and guide for Drake May, who's trying to figure things out. And I think you're right. I think this is a new offense, new system, trying to get in touch with the receivers. I mean,
trying to get in timing.
Yeah, there's a lot of, again, we,
one of the reasons people loved the Josh McDaniels signing was because they're like, oh, his offense is really layered. There's a lot of great stuff to it, but it's difficult. It's complicated. And so if it is in fact complicated, then there should be a learning curve. And that's what you're seeing right now from Drake May. So if you've ever supported Josh McDaniels in his offense, then seeing what you're seeing right now is okay as long as it improves, right? And that's when, and I said that to Greg and the crew yesterday, was if we get to preseason and I start seeing this in preseason games, then I start to get concerned. Because then you're at least in an actual football environment, full pads, full 11-on-11. You can actually see what's going on. Granted, nobody's playing at full speed. It may be against some backups. I get that. But at least you're in a legitimate football situation. And if you're seeing really bad timing, really bad passes, a lot of that stuff, that's when I will become concerned.
What is happening here is that because people are so high on the free agency for the most part and on the draft picks and overall on Vrabel and how he's doing stuff down there, the expectations for Drake May are through the roof. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw flashes of brilliance from him last year. Everybody knows that he's this great natural athlete. And so people think, okay, this year he's going to be Jaden Daniels. Why shouldn't he be? Like, it was a toss-up between those two and three going into the, basically up until a month before the draft, before their draft. So he should be able to take this team to the conference championship if the ball bounces the right way in terms of luck. I really think that's the expectations that people have. And I would tell people, pump the brakes a little bit. Because even, I'm not trying to excuse Drake May. He's a different kind of guy. I think he's going to make some really boneheaded decisions at mm-hmm. different points this year. And that's going to be the roller coaster that you're on with the highs of Drake May.
Yep.
And aside from that, there's still question marks on the offensive line. There's certainly still question marks in the receiver room. And so I'm not surprised that you go through OTAs. He looks uneven. He looked better this week than he did last week. But people are going, what the hell? I thought this guy was going to make this crazy jump this year. And now, what, is he regressing? Is it because they traded away Joe Milton? Iron sharpens iron. The guy's not motivated. He doesn't have his head on straight. I think we're going to get that through the entire summer. So prepare yourself.
Well, I hope not. So there's one national writer who doesn't look at it that way. And so you mentioned Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. so I had to ask you about this. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. Ben Solak of ESPN had the quote, here's something I struggle to put into words. Jaden Daniels had a historically productive rookie season. The Commanders fan base and team brass should feel confident and inspired about the future of the position, as I know you are. You're a fan of the Commanders. However, I'm still as, if not more, impressed by how well Drake May played on that terrible Patriots offense last season. Statistically, he didn't hold a candle, but degree of difficulty, May was playing a completely different sport. I'll put it this way and hope Metropolitan DC doesn't come for my head. Patriots fans should feel as confident and inspired about their future at quarterback as Commanders fans do right now. You just laid out the idea that we're going to get like Chicken Little, sky is falling, mm-hmm. panic everywhere from fans. Do you think there will be any kind of voice of reason, any fans that believe exactly what Solak said, in that they are just as inspired about what they saw last season in Drake May as people are about Jaden Daniels, and they're excited for him and ready to go?
Voice of reason is somewhere in between.
That's
I think
fair.
Solak's being a little wild there.
Yeah, I mean,
saying he played a completely different
As a Drake
sport.
May guy, I feel it's the voice of reason, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, from your perspective.
Yeah, sure.
I would say, yeah, I think most people who are going to be down at camp are going to be saying, they're probably going to be putting out camp stats, which I hate,
so
by
dumb.
The way. I hate.
So
I will. You will not catch me doing that. You might catch me.
He's 21 of 22 today, baby. It's 7-on-7s.
Yeah, we're going to be saying, like, he has good days and bad days, and he's still growing, and it's mm-hmm. a maturation process. But to be saying that you should be as confident in Drake May's future at the position as Jaden Daniels is disrespectful to Jaden Daniels. And I'm not saying that just as a Washington fan. It is, Shime. They went from a 4-win team with a new head coach,
yep. Who's
a
done
rookie
it before.
Quarterback, and went to the conference championship for the first time in 20 years.
So I agree what they did was remarkable. But I would simply ask the question, hypothetically speaking, swap Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
They don't make it there.
No, they don't make it to the conference finals, but they probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, they probably make the playoffs.
Exactly. And so,
but we're agreeing that Jaden Daniels at this point in his development, and I'm not saying it couldn't be different 5 years down the road on their second contract.
Yep.
This point in time, Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback than Drake May.
I don't disagree. That's not the argument. I'm not saying that Drake May is a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels right this minute. I don't think that's, and so I think that's kind of the clarification that needs to be had, is it's just that, like, you should be inspired and feel confident in what Drake May has to offer the same way Commanders fans are about Jaden Daniels. Because, like, surely there may be a bit of a come back to earth, but maybe a little bit of a regression from Jaden Daniels
How
this
dare
year.
You? How dare
I'm just
you?
Saying there may be. I'm not
How
saying there
you?
Will be. I'm just saying there may be.
Take it back.
But and then we should see the progression from Drake May. And, like, I think both are true. And so I just look at it like, if I had had Drake May in the same situation as Jaden Daniels last year, I would have been a playoff team. Therefore, I am extremely confident and inspired by what he can bring to the New England Patriots.
Flip it around and don't say that he'd get killed, because
okay.
maybe he would.
Yep.
But let's say he stays healthy. Jaden Daniels on the Patriots, what do you end the season at? 6 wins?
5 wins, yeah. You and get
six
you're,
wins,
you're a win or two better. And like, again, that's because, as you pointed out, I don't disagree. Right at this very moment, Jaden Daniels, carrot sign facing over Drake May. I get
okay.
it. I agree. Totally agree. I'm not making, as a
don't
Drake May guy,
math
I'm not even making.
Symbols. It's
sorry.
Too hard.
So Jaden Daniels
greater
over
than.
Greater than Drake May at this present moment. I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to argue with you on that, because he was awesome last year. He was freaking insane. He was as successful on fourth down as the tush push. That, to me, is insanely
it's
impressive.
Just, to me, I do feel like it discredits a little bit. You can be optimistic about Drake May, and you should be.
Yeah.
I like Drake, and I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. But to say that you should be, have the same level of confidence as probably the best modern NFL rookie quarterback season in history is a little discrediting to Jaden Daniels.
Fair. And maybe, so maybe confident was the wrong word that he used, but
yeah,
I do think the word,
is
I think
fine.
The word inspired is right. Like, I think you should be optimistic about Drake May. You should be inspired about what he brings to the table and what he can do. And it's just a matter of making sure that the rest of the house is in order for him to succeed. That's all.
Should we get to some baseball next?
Ooh.
Sean McAdam had a crazy piece that came out with Chris Cotillo yesterday.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime here on a Saturday. We've been talking Patriots all program long. We're going to get into a little baseball, maybe even get into a quick Celtics thought here before we get out of here today. It's Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. But right now, Mitch is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox beat the Braves yesterday 5-1. Trevor Story had a homer as he and Devers both had two RBIs. Abraham Toro had three hits in the win. And Lucas Giolito went 4 2/3 innings pitched, one earned run, three Ks. Here was Toro on the importance of yesterday's win.
Well, you know, we just had an off day tomorrow, so that gave us a chance to reset. And again, I don't feel like we're playing bad. We just playing every single game. We're on it. And, you know, we've been losing some tie games. And today feels good.
Red Sox are back in action today at 4:10. Walker Buehler takes the mound for the Red Sox. Spencer Schwellenbach for the Braves. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball has the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10 right here on WEI Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. In the NBA, the Pacers host the Knicks for Game 6 tonight at 8. The Pacers will try and close it out on their home court. They currently have a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. The winner of that series will face the OKC Thunder in the NBA Final starting June 5th.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And in the NHL, the Panthers and the Oilers are in the Stanley Cup Final. Oilers host the Panthers for
this morning. So let's pivot to some Red Sox, Mego, shall we? You mentioned Sean McAdam and Chris Cotillo have done some writing over on Mass Live and had some comments about Rafael Devers and the situation with the Red Sox on playing first base and how that was handled. What is it specifically that you wanted to address this morning?
So it's been a crazy week with Red Sox. The Roman Anthony, will he, won't he come up? And what are they trying to do? Are they trying to just exercise maximum control over his contract, afraid that he's going to be a top two finalist for Rookie of the Year? And mm-hmm. so they're keeping him down in Worcester. What's going on with Cora? Does he seem disinterested after these losses? And then Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam have this piece. And if you listened to us a couple weeks ago, we had Sean McAdam on, and he was an excellent guest. And he told us that he believes that when Tristan Casas went down, he told us that Craig Breslow was the one who cooked up the idea of trying to shift Rafael Devers over to first base. And Cora basically was like, hey, then why don't you go talk to him about it? That's what he told us. So he now has put it in writing. And there's a little bit more to this that I want to get into because I think it continues a very rough stretch for one Alex Cora. This is what Cotillo and McAdam wrote just yesterday. Though manager Alex Cora has publicly left the door open for Devers to eventually start getting reps at first base this summer, privately, team officials remain very pessimistic about the chances of Devers taking the field at either corner. This week, one official expressed with some certitude that the experiment would not be happening. To quote Rafi, Unlike Christian Campbell, Devers has not taken a single rep at first base during pregame work this season. In recent weeks, he has not been seen taking grounders at third base as he was earlier this season. This is where it gets spicy.
Ooh,
they get into the conversations about Devers moving to different positions coming off of being a DH. So they write, initially it was Craig Breslow, now Alex Cora, who approached Devers about potentially moving to first base, which led to some questions about communication within the organization. But one industry source recently offered that the strategy was deliberate, with the Red Sox purposefully having Breslow and not Cora approach Devers about trying first base. The idea, the source said, was that if Devers responded unfavorably to the request, as he quickly did, the longstanding strong relationship between player and manager wouldn't be negatively impacted, and the team could still have Cora preserve an open line of communication with the club's highest paid and longest tenured member.
If he has such a great relationship with Rafael Devers, isn't that the exact guy who should be talking to him about possibly playing first base?
Not if it's going to hurt his feelings, Shime.
Who cares if it hurts his feelings? You're his manager, not his buddy.
No.
Like, that's what all this. This looks so stupid.
This looks so bad, guys.
It's so inept.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. You have to have the nerd, Craig Breslow, because I guess, like, the team already doesn't like him. That he's going to be the one who goes and talks to Rafael Devers? Because heaven forbid Rafael Devers and Alex Cora are mad at each other for a week about this? Like that relationship erodes? Come on! Like, you guys bend over backwards for this guy, and I get it. He's mashing right now. He is the third hottest hitter through May. He's behind Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. I have never seen an athlete in Boston with this much success at his individual position, even though he only plays one half of it, like have this much success and be this divisive and polarizing and look like such a jerk in Rafael Devers. And it's to the point now where it's like, he's untouchable. You have to send Craig Breslow, because everybody knows the guy who's in that position, be it Chaim Bloom, Dombrowski to some extent. That guy's expendable. Alex Cora is not expendable because he has a three-year guaranteed $20 million contract, and they don't want to have to pay him to do nothing. So they're like, well, if Alex doesn't want to talk to him and he says it's going to hurt their relationship with Rafael Devers, let's send Craig Breslow, the calculator who came to life, to go talk to Rafael Devers. Like, that's going to work? And guess what? It didn't work. You know what you had to do? You had to get big cigar puffing John Henry to get on a private jet and go out there and talk to him on the road and be like, hey, Rafi, I know it's pretty messed up right now. We're pretty bad at communicating to you. And this is not to excuse Rafael Devers. Both sides look like idiots.
Everybody looks bad in this scenario. And then, two, to hear Alex Cora this week go, yeah, Devers will not be ever taking ground balls at third base. That's not happening. He might still do first base. That's a possibility.
If a ground ball rolls his way, he's not allowed to look at it.
Yeah.
We told him to put the glove away.
No,
he's not even allowed to look at it.
Under no circumstances will Rafael Devers actually take ground balls at the position he's played all his career to help the team because of injuries that were unforeseen.
To be fair, not well. He has not played it well.
No, but like, he played it. And instead, you'd rather put him at first base. Why? What are we doing? Why not? And so just, you know, let's just be a little intelligent here.
Okay.
Let's look at things outside of last night where he hit a home run. Mm-hmm. Trevor Story has sucked. Mm-hmm. 99% of the season. Why wouldn't you, theoretically, just be like, hey, Rafi, you wanted to play third base. Here you go. You can go play third base. We need you now. Like, Bregman's hurt. Bregman was the guy that replaced you. We would only replace you for Alex Bregman because he's a really good third baseman. And you get that now. You've kind of seen it. Like, you understand where we've smoothed that over. He's going to be out for a couple months. We'd love for you to come back, play some third base. We're going to put Marcelo Meyer at shortstop, and Trevor Story is going to go play second. Or if Marcelo Meyer is going to play second, Trevor Story is going to stay at short, and Christian Campbell at first. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. And so that Marcelo Meyer doesn't have to play third, and he can just play second. And Rafi, don't worry. It's your position until Alex comes back. The only people we want playing third base are you or Alex. That's it. Like, if you go to him and you're kind of deferential to Rafael Devers, it seems like you could probably get him to do whatever you wanted.
You it think seems so? Like
it. If you're deferential to him, and
if
yet
you
somehow
kiss the rings of Rafi Devers, he's going to comply.
That's what it feels like.
I don't know.
It feels like that's the kind of guy he is.
We should ask Bradfo in a crossover at the end of the hour.
I'd love to.
Before baseball is a like it's just, I'd love his perspective on
the
this.
The idea that he's ever going to take a ground ball at first base is asinine. There's no way. Nope. There's not a chance on planet Earth he ever takes a ground ball at first base. Ever. I don't like Craig Breslow can throw every fit he wants and try and get Rafi to do it.
Please take a ground ball at first base.
It's not happening. Because he knows he has them over a barrel. Like, he knows he has the leverage because he's mashing. He's like, no, I'm going to play DH.
Right,
still.
And he is. Do you know what is so gross about this? Is that Julian McWilliams, who used to be at the Boston Globe, now he's with CBS Sports, he wrote this feature on Mookie Betts. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this.
I did not.
I think it came out Thursday or Friday. I think it was Thursday. These are the quotes that he got from Mookie Betts. It was all about Mookie moving to shortstop. By the way, the hardest position in the field. And Mookie said, this is what he said about moving to shortstop for the Dodgers. It's fun when it's something I've never done. So anytime somebody's doing something new, like myself especially, I guess you just embrace and enjoy those challenges. But really, it's just to help the team be able to re-sign guys and bring new faces to help the team. So it's kind of what it is. I mean, you look at two different guys who were here in 2018.
You traded that guy.
Xander's kind of out of the conversation now because he's not playable anymore.
Yeah.
And it was sad when Xander left. He really wanted to be here. It was a tough situation. Trevor Story was.
But that's the position they put themselves in. They trade away a guy like Mookie Betts, who is everything you could possibly want in a baseball player. And then you trade away Xander Bogaerts. And again, like, statistically, it makes sense why you allowed him to leave and you got rid of him. Like, I get it because he can't really play. He may have been a good leader. year, but he has struggled to play. But then, like, you then just ponied up all this money for Rafael Devers, who just feels like the biggest baby.
I mean, Mookie's out here saying, like, it's a challenge. I'm doing something new.
God, I hate
and then
it so much.
On the other side, you have Rafael Devers telling Craig Breslow to hit the bricks and do his job and find his own first baseman because Rafi thinks the next thing he's going to be asking him to play the outfield. And by the way, who comes out of this story looking the worst? Is it Devers? Is it Cora? Or is it Breslow? Because I actually think it's Cora. Like, if they went to Cora and said, hey, we have this idea of Rafi moving to first base, and somehow what comes out of this conversation is that Cora should not be the one who's confrontational, that looks really bad to Cora to me.
I agree. No, I totally agree with you. It looks kind of weaselly. It looks like, yeah, we don't want you to look bad. But it also, because I heard Ken and Curtis talking about this earlier, like, are you more confident that Breslow would be here or Cora would be here going forward if one of them was to get fired?
Cora. And that's why they're... That's why they're doing this, because they don't want to pay out his guaranteed contract.
Yeah, because they can just can the nerd and find another nerd to come in. But, like, Cora has this unbelievable relationship with all the players. There's no way he's going anywhere.
Let me ask you
which
this,
which is insane, because, as you have pointed out, he has the longest leash imaginable for a guy who has done nothing since 2018.
Should Devers and Cora have this much leverage within the Red Sox?
No!
Does anyone think that? I know that sounds crazy, because Devers is mashing.
Yes.
But should they be afforded this much leverage over the entire situation of the team?
In a normal scenario, I would say yes to Devers, but specifically because of the horrible communication by the organization to him, I think is part of the reason he's being such a baby about all this is because they screwed up at the beginning, and so now he's like, well, like, screw you, I'm not playing your game. Whereas if they had been open and transparent with him in the entire time, I think it might be a little different. He might have still been a little bit of a baby about it, but it might have been a little bit different. So I think he has the leverage, but, like, Cora should not have this leverage. By no means should Alex Cora, a guy who, since that World Series, has done nothing for this organization outside of finish at the bottom of the division, right around or below 500, and made one ALCS in 2021, which is a great season, and that's great. But Bill Belichick was gone after one horrible year, and he won 6 Super Bowls, one of the hardest things to do in sports.
He had 2 bad years, John.
Well, I mean,
22 was a bad year.
He was still 8-9. Like, it was a 500 year.
It was a clown car.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but, like, it was a 500 season. He had one awful year. Mm-hmm. Alex Cora's been at the bottom of his division, what, 4 of the last 5 years?
Oh, I agree. I've talked about this. Like, nobody has the leash that Cora
does.
It's
insane.
I want to know where it comes from. Does it come from a belief in Cora as a manager? Or does it come from they don't want to pay a guy not to work? And that this if it's
but then
the,
why if
it's the second thing, it's really going to frustrate me.
But they just gave him an extension.
Yeah.
So to me, that indicates that they believe in him.
I think the way that they handled the core extension and the way that they handled the Rafi extension, again, is very similar. They both points. They're not playoff teams. They're in difficult seasons. Lots of injuries.
So they were almost backed into a corner?
In Devers' situation, everybody was pissed off that Xander was gone. They're getting booed at Winter Weekend, which is the most hardcore fan base.
But, like, I don't think with the Cora extension, I don't feel like they were backed into a corner. I felt like you could have let the season play out, canned him, and promoted a guy like Jason Veritek. The fan base would have rallied behind him immediately because he's a cult hero here in the city. And then you go out and have the offseason you did, and everybody would be pumped.
See, I think in the court of public opinion last summer, it was if Cora leaves, he's going to go to the Yankees or the Dodgers. And what a nightmare that will be for the Red Sox.
Yeah, which was, but like, because I agree, you're not wrong.
Everybody knows the issue the 2 years prior truly was the payroll. That they didn't have major league level players. It was crazy. I mean, they went like an entire season and a half without a shortstop. That was nuts. You should not be having Bobby Dalbec play shortstop.
No, I totally agree. But, like, it's just you put all your eggs in the Alex Cora basket, but then also have a GM who clearly doesn't see things the same way Cora does. Like, there is clearly a divide
on how they approach baseball, and that is just going to create chaos. We see it constantly happen across every sport. When a coach wants to do one thing and a GM wants to do another, it is almost always an epic collapse because somewhere along the lines, communication breaks down and you don't have the right players to fit the system you want to run, and things just go bad. And that's exactly what you're seeing here. Alex Cora was here. You should have gotten a GM that Alex Cora wanted. Instead, you got the...
So you give Alex Cora more leverage in the situation.
Well, if you believe in him, if you're going to give him an extension and you actually believe in him, then you have to do that. You have to go all in. But instead, they kind of went like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and it's even worse.
Yeah. Let's take some of these calls.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Wants to talk about the Sox. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi. The original sin was to move this guy off of third base with Alex Bregman being here on a 1 year deal. He had a great year. He's leaving to get a big 6-7 year deal. You have a second fallacy that he's dramatically better than Raffy, or Raffy's way worse than him. According to Fox Sports, and I've had people contend to me differently, I looked it up on ESPN defensive metrics, last season our guy had 12 errors. Bregman had 10. They have a fielding percentage that's 965 and 980. I'm sure the range or the whatever they call it for the whatever, he's going to make more plays, but it was never worth it to steer this guy up. If it was such about defense, put Bregman at second, put Bregman at first, DH him, do whatever. And the thing would have played itself out. You'd have had other pieces here.
All right, Steve.
What if this guy leaves after 1 year, Megan? What happens now? This guy, Rafi's here for 7 more years. It was completely wrong from day one. He's fat. He's this. He's that. He can't play third base, but he can hit the baseball? Really?
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, look, have you ever seen pictures of Babe Ruth?
Yeah, he was a hefty guy. Then again, he was probably also drinking a six-pack in between the innings.
Are we pretending like fat guys can't hit baseballs?
Oh, no, they can't. I mean, David Ortiz wasn't in the best shape of anybody I've ever seen, and he could hit better than just about everybody in baseball sometimes. But I look at it, and I look at it like this. It wouldn't have been a major issue if they had been honest with Rafael Devers from the jump. But clearly, from the way we've seen things play out, they weren't. And that's what pissed him off so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made him such a little baby in these situations, is because you lied to me once. What's to stop you from lying to me again? That's the whole reason he said, next thing you know, he's going to be asking me to play outfield, because he feels like he just keeps getting lied to instead of just being told the truth. And if you had just been upfront and honest with him in the first place, this wouldn't have been quite as big of a deal. So again, like, you look at the coach and the GM, like, where was the communication, guys?
Well, Devers is already an entitled guy to begin with.
Yeah.
So from his perspective, it had to look like in the offseason, they're bringing in a guy who's essentially a better version of him. Maybe he doesn't hit as well, but he's better at third base. And he's the big free agent, and he's tight with Cora. And so it's been this delicate dance since that. You're right. The communication wasn't there from the beginning. But I still think the biggest issue here is that Devers is so entitled, stubborn, and inflexible. And he's still a relatively young guy, but he's very experienced. And for the money that he's making, he's never been a leader in the clubhouse. He's never been a model player. And after years of this, and now it reaching ahead where, like, you're really just having this passive aggressive line of communication to the guy because the manager is worried about either how he's going to look with it or worried about how the communication is going to break down. Like, to me, that's aggressively dysfunctional, and it just is, it's so entitled.
Let's go to Danny in Maine, wants to talk Sox. Go ahead, Danny.
Hi, Chris. I'm calling. I got to rescue Wiggy for his take on the infield in defense and blaming Cora.
Yep.
That's never, ever done. With two outs, you have to increase the range of the infielders. If a dribbler happens, it happens. That's a calculated risk. But they're never going to do that. It also has the runners get bigger leads, and they're going to score two runs. Sometimes they say the batter's average goes up 100 points with the infield in. It's completely ridiculous, and I love Wiggy, but he sounds foolish, and he continually goes over this and toes on the grass. It's never done. Middlebrooks was so incensed. He's a former major league third baseman that he calls in to say he should never talk about baseball again. And sometimes with baseball, Wiggy is, pardon the word, but he's a little clueless, I think.
Wiggy was the East Boston catcher, of the year, right?
Thanks for the call, Danny. Yeah, he was an all-city catcher. That's what it was.
All-city catcher.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He said he knows more about baseball than football, too.
Yeah, he does. He said football is actually the sport he knows the least about. Well, yeah, I mean, from what we saw at Brockton, might be true. So, you know, but Danny, yes, Wiggy was on an island on that one.
Do you think he was trolling?
I think that's kind of who Wiggy is. He has a take and he stands by it.
Okay.
And he doesn't back down and he digs deeper.
He's just like Devers.
That's how he lives.
A little
bit
stubborn that way.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you know, that's just how he lives his life. 617-779-7937.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin, Mego, and Scheim here on Boston Sports WEEI. We're joined by a very special person here, high integrity and a handsome gentleman, Rob Bradford. Hello.
0-2.
Yeah. Oh, 0-2. Give yourself some credit.
It's like calling a bald guy curly. This guy. I mean, like, it's so. I appreciate it. We're here to build up, and you do a great job of that. I'm building you guys up.
I
so enjoy in my drive in to the station, my always like 3-hour drive into the station, listening to you guys talk about everything because you're insightful, you're educational, you're entertaining. You're the big three.
Wow, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Bradfo.
It's true. I mean, it's true.
So, Bradfo, why isn't Roman Anthony up yet?
Oh, my goodness. Why isn't... That's a great question.
Is it about control? Is it about being rookie of the year?
I think... Here's the thing. I think they're... Excuses is a strong word, but we'll use it.
Okay.
Their excuses for not bringing him up are getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner.
They don't make any sense.
They don't make any sense.
They don't want to ruin the winning roster.
The winnings, the whole, we don't want him. And I know that Kenan Curtis talked a lot about the interview on Thursday, which we're going to pick apart a lot on the Baseballs and Boring Show. Gordo's here as well. And I think that this whole thing, we don't want him coming up with when they're in a losing streak. We don't want to basically see, like, have all the pressure on him. Okay. Let's pick apart that. You just called up Marcelo Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, you weren't in a losing streak, but you weren't exactly winning a bunch of games either. And for you called him up for good reason. A, he was ready. B, you need him. Guess what? Roman Anthony. A, you're ready. B, you need him. And the thing that they can lean on, which is sort of maddening, is the obvious way to bring him up. Because it wasn't really an obvious way before. The obvious way you bring him up now is that you have a guy who's, I don't care, he had 2 hits yesterday. Christian Campbell's struggling. You change your strategy. You say, Sidon Rafaela, sorry, you're going to have to start playing infield. You move him to infield. You move him around. You put Roman Anthony there in the outfield. There. You're on your way. But they won't do that, which is maddening, because Sidon Rafaela, they can just say, oh, my goodness, he's the best defensive outfielder in baseball, which, yeah, okay, fine, he is. And look, he just got 2 hits. Okay, yeah, he just got 2 hits. But what we're talking about is for the long haul, and that's the we do this show, and we have to react to what happened on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and that's sort of a maddening thing, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's all figured out. It's all figured out. Well, is it?
Do you think people feel that way? Because I think the Red Sox had an awful week coming off of a five and five homestand.
But, Mego, like, if you
one game is not going to save
If you did a poll, like, if they lost, they would have said, people, you say, okay, do the Red Sox, do you feel good about the Red Sox? They would probably get like 5%, 10%, right? Now, because they won.
Now it's like
30? 30, 40%.
Really?
That's fandom. How it works.
It's fandom.
Yeah, I get it.
And like Abraham Toro is going to win the MVP. Like this is
Trevor Story's great again.
Yeah, and it's like anything covering baseball and talking about baseball in a season is very difficult because it's so long. Like,
Look at this hero over here. Yeah.
He's a grinder.
I am very difficult. I thought we were here to build up.
Absolutely.
But I go back to what I said the other day. The Mets are the example of this. The Mets a year ago. Where I think they were like 10 games under 500. 10 games under 500. And they have this meeting and they make tough decisions. Oh my goodness, tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make them.
And then Craig Breslow delivers them.
And then he weighs whether it is the gut decision or the analytical decision, and then you go from there.
And Corey's not allowed to talk to Dennis about it. It would look bad.
I know that where you're coming with that. Corey's talked to Devers.
Okay.
I mean, this. Corey's talked to Devers. Did he talk to Devers at the same time that Breslow did? Maybe not.
Maybe a couple of days later when he walked over and he said, that Craig Breslow is really a jerk.
I know what he said. Can you believe he asked me to play first base? But at the heart of it.
We've all played that game.
At the heart of it. Both sides. Yeah. At the heart of it, the Devers thing is just such, I know it's stating the obvious, it's just such the albatross, such a bad look, all of it. And I'm not even talking about what's good for how the team can function and how the team can function. I'm just talking about perception. Like, that's it. I said this the other day. If you just had Rafael Devers take a glove and work out before a game, what that would do for the perception of the team, and by the way, I'm sorry, the perception of young players in that clubhouse, some of them who are looking up to this guy. And you cannot ignore that. When the players in there, if any players in there say, it's okay, they lied to Devers, it's okay, he has every right to do that, then you are unbelievably misguided. You can feel bad for him, but if you're talking about what's best for the team, what's best for a Major League Baseball team, then that is undeniably that you do whatever is best for the team, and he's not doing that.
I mean, even if you don't actually make the switch, you just have to feign the ability to make the switch.
He could stink as a first baseman. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably will.
But just take a couple ground balls and show people you're willing to, and it's a huge morale boost.
Which, again, he was like, you know, I video you taking ground balls up until late April anyway, before the game.
You mentioned that. What is the deal with this, like, because I heard the question Lou asked him, and so now Cora's like, oh yeah, he'll never take a ground ball at third base again. But you know, we're leaving the first base option open. How does that make any sense?
Cora is doing everything. He's pulling out all the stops and trying to bob and weave his way through this. Even the other day when they were home, we asked about that, about working out before the game, and he said, oh well, you know, field conditions and come on, like no, it's just no. We know what it is. We know what this is. He complained in February. You tried to play both sides of the fence. You were walking in eggshells. You said, okay, just be a DH. You won't have to worry about it. Then when the time came that you did not think was coming, where you were needed in the field, then they said, can you do it? And he's like, too bad. You had your chance. What next thing you're going to know, you're going to ask me to play outfield? And he was marking his territory. That's what he was. He couldn't mark his territory in the no press conference. So this was his opportunity to do it. And that's what it was. And he's dug in on that. And that's why we're landing where he is. And that's why we're not seeing him work out. That's why we have this situation. And yes, he might not be a good first baseman. But what I do know is that if you work out at first base and you show any signs of it, then you're a better team because you can play Yoshida, you can play Anthony. It opens up the door for all these other things. And by the way, the guy that you're going to have play first base tomorrow – is the worst hitter in baseball over the last month, and he's learning to play a new position in his rookie year. That doesn't seem like a logical way to go either.
And they can't bring up Roman Anthony.
No.
Thanks so much for popping in, Rob. Yeah, we appreciate you.
Yeah, there you go.
He's all worked up now.
Now we lower
the heart rate.
We got him ready.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.